Welcome. I'm Jessica Teigen, and this is the Evolving to Exceptional podcast, where we talk about reaching peak performance in our workplaces, homes, and communities so that we can live our best life possible, an exceptional life. Welcome back to the Evolving to Exceptional podcast. I'm Jessica, and this week we're going to continue with our Evolving Workplaces series, talking about using all our brains in business. A few weeks ago, we did an episode around our busy brains and the problems that come in workplaces as a result of our busy brains in business. And so today, I want to dive into why using all of our brains in business is a better strategy. And I was blessed enough to recently take a coaching certification course called MBIT or M-Braining. I'll put it in the show notes. And this course taught all about how to integrate our different brains. And I think that the strategies that they focus on are really powerful for our businesses and our workplaces. And truly, what we want to be doing is using all three of our brains all of the time to create the best outcomes in our workplaces and our businesses. So as a result, Evolving to Exceptional has incorporated all three brains throughout our various models and frameworks. So I want to start with why we did this. We believe that the science behind performance is as important, if not more important, than the anecdotal experiences or even the research that demonstrates why particular strategies and approaches work over others. Additionally, the neuroscience of our three brains and how they impact our performance is a relatively new field of study, which is constantly growing in depth and understanding. As it does so, we are learning entirely new concepts that have not typically been incorporated into the traditional business practices of the past. We believe by incorporating the latest scientific approaches into our business practices, we can create an evolving model of business. A model that allows our businesses to continuously evolve as they face challenges and opportunities in the marketplace and allows them to achieve successful results. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? A model that allows our businesses and our workplaces to keep evolving as the world is continuing to change at a faster and ever-increasing pace. So how is this different from traditional business or traditional performance practices? Traditional business has been built around the head brain, and we now know there are more neural pathways flowing up to the head brain than there are pathways flowing down from the head brain. What does that mean? It means that there are more messages our head brain is receiving from our heart and our gut than our head brain is sending to our heart and our gut. Just let that sink in for a minute. There is more going to our head brain than our head brain is sending to the rest of our body. Which means understanding what messages are being sent to our head brain is incredibly important to understanding how to help people reach peak performance and achieve better results both at work and at home. So I want to address each of the brains and their core responsibilities so we can see why they each actually play a major role in the performance of people and as a result also in our workplaces. Starting with the head brain, the one we're all most familiar with, the head brain is made up of 86 billion neurons and is responsible for cognition, thinking, language, and meaning making. The head brain leads with statements of, I think. Our head brain is the basis for our logical reasoning, analysis, and planning. Based just on that description, you can easily see how traditional business practices have been heavily influenced by our head thinking brains rather than the other two. Traditional businesses, as we described earlier, have a heavy focus on clear, logical definition, roles and efficiency, detailed planning, achievement-focused, analytical, their aversion to risk, and limited decision-making, their very hierarchical. All of these are centered around a very head-brained approach to our workplaces and to running our businesses. So let's move into the heart brain, or the cardiac brain. The heart brain is made up of 40,000 neurons and is responsible for emotional processing, interpersonal connections, and values expression. The heart brain leads with statements of, I feel. Our heart brain sends messages to our head brain, which tells them how to act. When we feel scared, it is our heart that feels this emotion and sends messages to our brain to trigger our sympathetic nervous system to fight, flight, or freeze in response. Let's look at each of the major elements of the heart brain. So starting with emotional processing, which is how we react or respond to various situations. An emotion is a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationship with others. An emotion is instinctive or intuitive feeling, which is different from reasoning or logic. In short, we don't control our emotional responses. They occur automatically as a result of our experiences and how we perceive our environment. Emotions are all about how we feel in response to the environment and experience we are having. In the traditional workplace, emotions are discouraged and make most people uncomfortable. Employees are encouraged not to express emotions, accept their circumstances, and focus on results. In short, keep their mind on the business, keep focused on the work, and keep achieving the outcomes in order to ensure the business is successful. This approach ignores this core human intelligence and its potential value to the business, as well as the harm it can cause when it's ignored. Next, the heart brain is responsible for interpersonal connections, which means the relationship or feeling of connection we have with others. In the traditional working environment, connections were discouraged. Policies were written to prevent relationships or creating too much social connection in the workplace. People were instructed to leave their issues at the door. This approach, again, ignores the core human need of connection. If the COVID-19 pandemic and social distancing during it taught us anything, it highlighted how important social and human connection really is for people. For many who lacked social connections in their workplace, this made the decision to move on more probable and was likely a contributing factor to the Great Resignation. People wanted to experience connection to others, and if their workplace didn't foster this, they were more likely to move on. Finally, the heart brain is responsible for values expression, which refers to what is important to us, what gives us passion. What we choose to value will drive our passion and energy towards action and achieving results. When a traditional workplace ignores what their people value, they fail to tap into a critical intelligence that provides passion, energy, and excitement towards achieving goals and objectives. This approach fails to tap into this highly valuable energy resource and can even create a negative impact if their people's values are contrary to that of the workplace. We see this often in workplaces where people value time with family and the workplace values working extra long hours. These disconnects can really cause challenges to getting people to achieve the results you want them to in your workplace. Moving on to the gut brain, this is the enteric brain. The gut brain is made up of 100 million neurons and is responsible for self-preservation, think safety, mobilization, and our core sense of self or our self-identity. The gut brain leads with statements of, "My gut tells me." Our gut brains are also our oldest brains. They were the first neurons to form when we grew in the womb, which means our oldest neural pathways were created in our gut, wired into our core identity of who we are as individuals. Let's look at each of the major elements of the gut brain. The gut is responsible first for self-preservation. So again, thinking safety. We've all had an experience where we had a bad gut feeling about an interaction that felt unsafe or caused us to fear for our safety. We are neurologically wired at our core to act in a way that keeps us alive and safe, self-preservation, which means when we encounter something that triggers our self-preservation response, we will react whether we intend to or not. In traditional workplaces, when employees have fears such as exclusion, loss of job, failure impacting their livelihood, they trigger the employee's gut brain and can cause them not to perform at their best or to halt their performance. This approach fails to consider the critical importance of the environment and experience of employees in the workplace. Next, the gut brain is responsible for mobilization or moving a person to take action. Every person is motivated to act or mobilize by different things. In traditional workplaces, they typically assume everyone will take action to get paid and keep their job. This approach fails to consider the multitude of more common motivators that cause people to act and generate results and outcomes. The speed with which people act or perform their role is tied to this level of motivation, which stems from their environment and experience. If people are not connected to their passion, if their role is not connected to the purpose, and it does not create passion, you are not going to get the same output and the same results from the people within your workplace. For us as individuals, if we really want to get to reach peak performance, if we really want to perform at our best, we have to figure out how to motivate ourselves to do so. Finally, the gut brain is responsible for our core sense of self. As the first brain we develop, our gut houses who we see ourselves as a person, our identity. In traditional workplaces, they at best ignore this intelligence, and at worst, they actively try to align their employees' identity around the traditional approach to work or their workplace culture, the culture of the business. Employees are encouraged to assimilate themselves to fit in, be part of, and be included in the political groups within the organization and within the workplace. This approach causes significant harm to the individual nature of human beings and creates false personas where people must put on a facade when they go to work. Trying to execute the work that we have is hard enough without trying to change who you are to be accepted while you're doing it. This wasted energy has a negative impact on performance of people. So how do we incorporate the head and the gut brains into our business practices? How do we take this new knowledge of neuroscience and these new brains, and how do we integrate it into some of the things that we are doing to actually get the benefits? Although we're going to be applying all three brains to every part of our business framework, we believe one element of our framework is impacted heavily by these two intelligences, and that is the engaging environment and experience. This element of our framework focuses on how the business is executed, how it feels, looks, and the cultural experience people have interacting with and working within the business. This element addresses how the business impacts others in terms of how it looks and how people feel when they work for or with the business. It also addresses the values of the business, how the people in the business behave. So how does the heart and gut apply to this engaging environment and experience element? If engaging environment and experience is about how we do the work, then each of the elements of the heart and gut intelligence must be included in this element. So I'm going to walk through these different pieces that we can add in order to create or in order to integrate the gut and the heart brain into our businesses in a way that creates more meaningful results and can help people reach peak performance. So the first is addressing emotions. In an evolving workplace, emotions are addressed early and often. The culture fosters and supports taking a reasonable amount of time to deal with emotions, rather than wasting an unreasonable amount of time working around them, as Brené Brown likes to say. Managers and employees are trained on how to identify and process emotions rather than ignore them, and how to coach others to navigate through the emotional challenges that are inevitably faced in the workplace. So it is so important, first and foremost, that we do not ignore emotions, and that we look and are training our managers on how to not just identify them, but how to coach and manage people through and when they're in an emotional state. The next is creating connection. In an evolving workplace, connections are fostered through all elements of the employee experience at work and at home. Employees are encouraged to create lasting connection and relationships with each other to support one another's growth and to encourage success for everyone. Employees feel connected, included, and valued in the workplace. Customers can sense this close connection and want to partner with the business as a result. They feel the sense of commitment and energy that comes from strong connections and support each other in the workplace. So when people create these connections, when people in the workplace have these close connections and people feel included and valued and connected to their peers, that is going to translate outward. Customers are going to feel that and they are going to want to be part of that. They are also going to want to be connected to the organization. So not only does it impact your internal employee performance, but it is also going to create more attraction of customers to your business. Aligning values. In an evolving workplace, values are clearly defined and employees must be personally aligned with those values in order to be part of the workplace. Different workplaces create different cultures based upon their values. And that's a good thing, as people all value different things. But it means the workplace must be very clear with their values and demonstrate their importance in everything they do to foster and create an engaging environment and experience aligned with those values. This is where, when you first hire employees on, it's really critical to understand who the people you're hiring are and what's important to them. A misalignment in values can create a lot of discord and challenge down the road, as well as the impact of future turnover if that person is not able to align with the values of the business in the future. The next one is creating safety. In an evolving workplace, employees are supported with an environment that is transparent, with frequent and clear communication, and one that encourages addressing fears rather than instilling them. The workplace works to create an engaging and energizing experience for employees that fosters growth and encourages risk-taking in a safe and inclusive environment. The environment must be created to establish a culture where employees' fears are not triggered, or if they are, there is the means to address them early and often without a consequence. There's a lot of talk about psychological safety, and I think this is really key in this area. We talk a lot about safety in workplaces, but not very often about the psychological safety in our workplaces. This is the one that may be having the biggest impact on your people. And if your culture is one of fear, if people do not feel safe sharing, communicating, understanding what is happening in the business, then their fears are likely triggered. And that means they're not going to be able to be operating at peak performance. They're not going to be generating the results that you want them to generate because they are in a state internally that is going to prevent them from doing so. The next element is empowered action. In an evolving workplace, employees are empowered to act within flexible frameworks that create boundaries and guidance while trusting them to make good choices. Rather than being stuck and unable to take action, employees are each empowered to act. They are also individually motivated in their unique way towards taking action, tapping into their inherent why, rather than assuming all employees are motivated by the same things. This means in our workplaces, we need to understand what individual people are motivated by. What will pull their passion out? What drives them? What excites them? When people are able to perform in a way and do the things that they love, or they are passionate about what they're doing, you are going to see their results skyrocket in comparison. And a big part of this is individual control, having control and being empowered to make good decisions about what they're doing, when they're doing it, and how they're doing it. The last element is inclusive of identities. In an evolving workplace, employees are encouraged to be their true self. Differences are valued and appreciated, and considering multiple perspectives is encouraged. Rather than a business with a singular identity everyone must conform to, evolving workplaces allow individuals time and space to establish their own identity, share this uniqueness, and apply it meaningfully to their work environment. Employees can truly bring their whole self to work and not need to be worried about hiding their true identity while working. Anytime I talk about inclusion and the value of ensuring that people are valued, appreciated, no matter what their perspectives are, everyone says they're on board. Everyone says, yes, I want that. But then when it comes in practice, those that have dominated, those that have been in the majority, can struggle to really make this shift. So it takes a lot of work to put in the space and to make the space for creating an environment where people really can bring their whole self to work, where they really can talk about their family, talk about their current circumstances and everything that's going on with them. So what do workplaces need to do to create this engaging environment and experience? I am willing to bet just about every workplace you asked would claim they care about their people. Every strategic leader knows you must say your people are important in order to be successful. However, what we see quite often is the workplace's inability to demonstrate their words through their actions. They may define values that sound good. They may say they want a safe, empowered, and inclusive environment or experience. They may claim they support connection and are willing to be vulnerable, but very few actually incorporate the practices necessary to achieve these outcomes. As a result, when you pull back the curtains, what you see is really not pretty at all. The most important thing an evolving workplace must do is intentionally cultivate the engaging environment and experience they want employees to have with clearly defined actions, not just words. For example, leaders must actually learn how to be vulnerable with their emotions and demonstrate this vulnerability regularly. Employees must be given ample time and methods for creating meaningful connections which extend beyond the coffee pot and the bathroom. Values must be incorporated into everything the business does and considered regularly. Everyone must be trained on respect and inclusive practices, and everyone must be committed to and create a culture of safety by shifting how managers respond to employee fears or challenges. The culture must be built on the highest level of trust, running both directions from leaders to employees and employees to leaders, by incorporating frequent communication and a strong focus on people and performance practices. It's not going to come as a surprise, given the nature of my business at Evolving to Exceptional and my background with wanting to create exceptional workplaces, that I believe you will achieve the business results you want to achieve in your business by putting in place the practices that most impact your people. And the more that we do this, the more that we do these practices that are not just based in theory, they are based in research, science, and validated by multiple studies and organizations, that when you have powerful performance practices, when you tap into all three of the brains of your employees, you're going to achieve greater results. Your employees are going to perform at a higher level, and everyone is going to benefit from existing in a workplace culture that is more positive than the workplace cultures that exist today. I've already observed in reading multiple examples of where some businesses have this figured out. Some businesses are getting the benefit of all of this research and knowledge. So what I want to offer today is, if you are one of the businesses that didn't know about this and is unfamiliar with how to do this in a way that can transform and evolve your culture and your business results, to reach out to us at Evolving to Exceptional, to contact us so that we can partner with you and look at your organization. We really want to focus on and help small to mid-sized organizations in supporting your HR people, your HR department, you as an HR leader or talent management leader, in helping to create and put in place the programs that you need. We do not want to come in and bring in consulting and external training, but rather provide you as an organization with exactly what you need to be successful and achieve these results and these outcomes in your workplace. I truly believe that this can be transformative, that understanding about these three brains and how to leverage them in your people is going to have a tremendous impact on your results. And I would love the opportunity to work with you and any business that has an interest in truly creating an exceptional workplace. I thank you for your time today. Hopefully Meldina will be back with us next week. She was out sick this week. Just a reminder that my new book, Fiercely Cherished Beings, is going to be up for pre-sale starting this week. So make sure you go check it out. I am giving away the first chapter, or the introduction in the first chapter, for free on my website. So go check it out, get your free chapter, and I look forward to getting feedback. That book will be officially published on August 22nd, and I am really excited to see what people think of my new book. Again, that book is Fiercely Cherished Beings. I hope you have a wonderful day, and remember, always keep evolving.